This morning's text actually comes from 1 Thessalonians. So why don't we stand just one more time to stretch and in honor of the Word of God. I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it has instruction for us in all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I thank you in a confused world that we live, where truth is suppressed, truth is not believed to even exist, that we have the truth of the Word of God, that we can go there, that we understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that, Father, you've recorded your Word so that we can go and understand truth, and by the grace of God, the power of God, and the work of the Holy Spirit, can live for your honor and glory. Be with us as we look into the Word. Teach each one of us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The legacy of mothers and fathers, part one. Let me start off with a question this morning. What do you, all of you, and don't turn me off if you're not a mother, what do all of you want to leave? The word legacy means a gift. It means a bequest. It means something that is left behind. That's what a legacy means. Something that is left behind. What do you, every one of you in this room, starting with me, what do we, regardless of our status, want to leave behind when we are no longer here? Riches? A house, a picture, a statue, if you were famous, in some town where athletes have this, in a Hall of Fame. Is that what you want to leave behind? Or do you want to leave behind something of eternal value that will never rust, that will never fade away, and never be used up in a generation? I want you to think about that. For those of you visiting with us today, we're normally in the book of Luke. We will, by God's grace, be there again next week, picking it up in chapter 6 in verse 37, because we left off in verse 36 last time I was in the book preaching. When you come to the title of my message, The Legacy of Mothers and Fathers, Part 1, I do not want you to think this morning, this is not for me. I don't have any children. In fact, I am a child. And I not only don't have any children, but I'm in the category of being a child. And I am not even married. So this has no relevance for me whatsoever. I think you will find that the Word of God always has relevance. And you will find, hopefully today, that this does. And I would challenge you right at the beginning that you ought to be thinking about how to appreciate, first of all, your own mother. because there isn't a person in this room that does not have a mother, whether living or past. What should I look for myself? As a mother, as not a mother? And how, if you are a mother, can I improve upon maybe some of the things that we are talking about this morning? I say part one today, because by God's grace, I hope we will deal with verses 7 to 9. And then on Father's Day, you have to wait till next month, we will deal with part two. Because you notice he did reference fathers in the context. And by God's grace, we will deal with verses 10 through 12 at that time. To be true to the text, I want us to understand some things here as we get into the text. Paul had a relationship with those at Thessalonica. To really bring it down into a nutshell, Paul had visited them on his second missionary journey, and then he had left them. And he left them, and understand this, under persecution. There was persecution there, and for his own welfare and the welfare of the gospel, he left. And so he left them, and when he left them, he was now being accused by non-true believers or non-true leadership that were in religious positions primarily. He was being accused of not caring for that assembly. He was being accused that when he was there, he only worked for money. I will never forget that, true story, back in North Andover when I first came in as an assistant pastor. One of the spouses of a person attending the church who was not a believer, didn't attend, said he is only going in the ministry for money. Really? I left working for a CPA firm and my salary went just like that. It wasn't that reason at all. But people accused for that. And what had happened here is they were accusing Paul of that. So as part of the letter, in response to the accusations, in response to that, he is writing this epistle. There are other things. He's commending them in the early part of the chapter because they had a tremendous outreach and testimony for the gospel of Christ. But he is commending them, and when he comes to this portion of his defense, I want you to understand some things that are basic to the relevant application of today's message. Paul did have a knowledge, a very good knowledge, of God's instruction in the Old Testament on marriage and on motherhood. He knew it well. Secondly, by Paul's life in his observation, he had witnessed among believers and among his lifetime many godly moms and dads. He had observed it. He knew what God's word said, but he had also observed in the real life situation what people were like who were godly, both as mom and dads. And so in our text, To understand a little bit where it's come to in chapter 2, in his defense of his ministry, he illustrates his defense of how he cared for them by referring back to, in this particular case, moms and dads and how they care for people. I want to say at the outset here, I am thankful, I really am, as a pastor for Fellowship Bible Church and the many, and I mean many, I've underscored it in my notes, the many godly women, mothers, dads, and men that we have in this church. I am. We have many, and I'm so grateful. And you should be also. You should be grateful for that. Unfortunately, today, in the world that we are living in, and this is very important to our text, you need to understand that the scene in which we live in the 21st century in 2017 is very confusing. There is confusion regarding gender. There is confusion regarding marriage. There is confusion regarding roles in the marriage. There is confusion regarding children and what the expectations should be for children or for parents. And our society, unfortunately, is in a total state of chaos and confusion in these areas. We are also in a day and age in which the issues of political correctness are so emphasized. And there is a lot of concern about what you say, who you say it to and how they may be offended by what you say. And we also, in addition to all of that, have the pressure upon all of us by the government and society to be following their rules and regulations, much of which is contrary to the Word of God. And we have all of these pressures on us. And when it comes to truth, as I prayed this morning, if you're honest in the world you're living in, and if you don't know about it, you really have been hiding. We are now living in a day and age in which truth is seen as totally subjective at best. Truth is what you think it is. Truth is what you want to make it. Truth is what truth is to you. Or what really is in existence today is the thinking that there is no ultimate truth. There is no ultimate truth, and there is nowhere that we go. It is non-existent. There is no one that can say, this is black and white, and this is what it is. My friend, I totally disagree with that. God, who created this world, has the final say. There is an absolute absence and lack thereof, even within Bible-professing churches and Christianity and pulpits across America and across the world, a lack of biblical instruction on God's perspective regarding gender, marriage, moms, dads, and children. Sad to say, but it's true. And yet, without denial, it is obvious in the world that we're living in that the most influential people in our lives, day in and day out, are our moms and dads. The people that are living with us every single day and sleeping under the same roof, or whatever the situation has, even if they're working in all of that. They are working, by the way. So how can we leave, all of us, but particularly Mother's Day, moms, how can we leave a legacy, leave something behind that has eternal value to it? Well, I think we can learn from the Apostle Paul here. And the way we want to do it is I want to do it with two. Communion also made it a challenge to me to get this all in. But I want to make it in two specific areas. I want to first look at the basics, what I'm calling the basics. What is that? That's the first thing I want to look at. Paul knew the teachings of Scripture. I already told you that. And then secondly, I want to look at the practical application or the illustration that Paul gives us here in this text of how that really works itself out so that you can be godly mothers. And as I say, not only godly mothers, but even if you don't have children or even if you are a child and you're looking forward to being married, what should you look for in a woman? What should you be looking forward to? How can we live even as men for the glory of God? So let me jump right into it because of time. And what are the basics? I'm going to give you three basics that I think are here that Paul knew and you would find in Scripture. There are many godly women, and as I prayed about this at length, about what to even study and prepare for, we could look at the life of Hannah. We could look at the life of Sarah. We could look at the life of Mary and Martha. We could look at the life, particularly as I already read to you, of Lois and of Eunice. And we could look at certainly Mary. We just took that through the Gospel of Luke as we saw her. So we could look at particular women. But there's consistency with a number of things, and that's what I want to go back to. If I want to leave a legacy behind that certainly is going to have eternal value to it and really be a good legacy, what's there? Basics. Basic number one, I'll give it to you as simple as I can. Pay attention to yourself. What? Pay attention to yourself. Recognize and accept. Recognize and accept what? Point number one, know and believe the Scriptures. You. Me. I need, if I'm going to leave a legacy behind, I need to know and believe the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go there. We are not going to do justice to all of these passages, but it's important, I think, that we understand them. You want to be a godly mother? You want to leave a legacy behind that's worth it? or godly father, godly son, daughter, whatever it might be, the principles are going to be the same. But I'm going to, number one, recognize and accept what? The truth of the word of God or the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the flesh of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. How did he do that? In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's clear. Our society has confused it. And I would say to you, the first thing you want to go back to is pay attention to yourself and make sure you are believing and keeping and know the scriptures and what he says right here. It is basic to any godly woman. And by the way, if your legacy, all you want to leave is an inheritance of money, it will run out. You want to leave your house? Someone else may knock it down. Or the statue, whatever it might be. But these things will last. Now, what was that? Recognition. If you go back and look at it, you will find out that these women recognized what? Number one, God made me. God made you. No mistakes. Pastor Chris referred to Psalm 139. We don't have the time for it this morning. I would recommend it to your reading. Why? When you were in the womb, in fact, before the foundation of the world, God knew every intricacy about you. You are who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. That's true for all of us. But as a woman, you need to understand, I am exactly who God wants me to be. I have been created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. I am equal as a partner in every way. Or let me go back further if you're not married. I am equal. We talk about equality. Pastor Dan believes in equality. Women are on an equal level as a person with everyone in this world that's been created. Different roles, that's a whole different story. And they understood it. These women understood that I belong to God. God created me, and I believe it. I don't just read the scriptures, I believe it. And I am distinct as a female, and I am able to carry children. That's a blessing. You say, really, Pastor Dan, you haven't carried any. Okay? But just understand, it's a blessing. But women understood that. And I will give you something why Bible memorization is important. Jeremiah, second month, 17:7. Blessed is the man, generic, help me, whose trust, first part only, is in the name of the Lord. And a woman who puts her trust in the Lord, who goes back and says, the world is telling me this, but God says, I have been created in the image and likeness of God. I have been created female. I have been created for a purpose. And I am equal in every way in that sense before God as a person. And that's what he's called me to. He has not made a mistake. Let me understand that and not try to be someone else. Number two. These are basics. I call it the fear factor in my notes. It's exactly the way I wrote it down. Fear factor. Why? Don't tell me you're going to do it, Pastor Dan. Not Proverbs 31, please. That's the fear factor for every woman. Don't go. That's what the young men do. There's some people that never get married, and the reason they don't get married, young men, I talk to them, why? They're looking for the Proverbs 31. You don't read it close enough. You're looking for a perfect person. Proverbs 31 is not a perfect person. However, go to Proverbs 31 with me. Fear factor. You might find out it's going to come a little differently from Pastor Dan. You mean he's going to rewrite the Word of God? No. But let's go to Proverbs 31. And I say fear factor because every woman says, they read this, I don't own up to this. I can't meet the need. You know, my husband expects it. My boyfriend expects it. No wonder. It's just not going to happen. Well, wait a minute. Fundamental number two, basic number two is, watch this, know and believe God, the God of the Scriptures. Don't just know the Scriptures and believe it. That's point number one. But know the God of the Scriptures. Not just academic. Know Him. Where does that come out of Proverbs? Proverbs 31, look at verse 30. Proverbs 31, 30. When you look through everything else, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Hold on to that, we're coming back. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Why does she fear the Lord? She knows Him. She doesn't just know about Him. She knows Him. And she fears. You're not going to fear somebody you don't know. What do you mean fear? It is a reverential fear. She loves Him. She knows Him. And she's known. And Proverbs starts that way. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. It's a woman who fears the Lord. And you look at these women of Scripture that were godly women. They feared the Lord. They not only knew the Word and believed the Word, but they knew the God of the Word. All right, Jeremiah 17, 7 again. The second part. Let me give you the first part again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the name of the Lord. Second part. Help me. And whose trust is the Lord. See why it's important to memorize Scripture. Take advantage of it. It's practical. Not only do I need to know about the name of the Lord, my trust is in the Lord, and I fear Him. I want to honor Him. And a godly woman that has that will be a godly woman. And I want you to notice verse 28. It says there in verse 28, it says, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her. Why? Because she fears the Lord. She loves the Lord. That's the priority. And she sees it. A mother who fears the Lord and wants to obey Him will be praised. You may have an unsaved husband and you're saying, Pastor Dan, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been in the ministry 38 years and have counseled a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you, even the New Testament says you win your husband over by who you are. And by the way, if your mother doesn't know the Lord, how often are you on your knees praying for God's salvation for your mother, that she would come to know Him? So number one in basics is know the Word of God and believe it. Number two, know the God of the Bible and believe it. What's the third one? I told you to come back to it. It is a complete concern, is the practical way I put it. A mother who wants to leave a legacy like that, or we who want to leave a good legacy behind us, we're not only caught up with knowledge and accepting the Word of God, and we're not caught up with just the fear factor of fearing God and walking with Him, but thirdly, we pay attention and have a complete concern for everything. What is that? She pays attention. I'm just putting this in my own words. She pays attention to the realities of living in this world, but also focuses on the greater values. She pays attention to the things of this world, but puts focus on greater values. What does that mean? She attends to the material. I put it in my notes this way. Yet her focus is on the immaterial. Now, there are too many believers that think that women are not to pay attention to the material. You'll notice, in fact, it says in verse 30, and too many misquote this verse. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, don't pay attention, just dress anyway, let yourself go, doesn't matter, it's all vain, it's all skin, whatever. It's just not important at all. Are you kidding me? And then, let's go there. They go to 1 Peter 3. Let's go to there. It's another passage that women often have fear factor for. But I want you to see something. I personally think the translators, just be careful to hear everything I say, the translators of the New American Standard were right in doing what they did. It was interpretation, but I believe they did the right job to get it across. What is it? 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them is disobedient to the word, how do you win them? I just browbeat them to death. I just become a Proverbs lady, and I nag till they can't stand it anymore. No, they may be won without a word. How is that going to happen? By the behavior of their wives. Verse 2. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, verse 3, your adornment must not, and here it is with the translation, must not merely, now that word is not in the Greek. However, that is the intent. Your what? Listen to me. Adornment is not, must not only merely be external, braiding of hair and wearing of jewelry and putting on of dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You say, well, that just concentrates on the internal. Listen, I don't have a whole message that I can get involved in this, but I'll be very straightforward with you. She pays attention to the outward and the inward. The outward can be deceitful, should be fair to the scriptures. And he gives you that. Listen to me carefully. Don't get lost in your word studies. What you have here is the outward can be deceitful. How? Like a harlot. Proverbs deals with that. A harlot uses her outward appearance to deceive and to corrupt and basically to ruin marriage or to ruin a man's life. But don't you think for 1 minute that the outward isn't important. I don't know of any young man, and it was never true in my case, and I would challenge any man here. I don't know of any young man that's growing up and says, I hope I get a woman that looks terrible. I hope I get a woman that doesn't pay attention to anything that's on the outside, and you know what? Makeup doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. And everything. Who are you kidding? You say, where do you get that from, Pastor Dan? How about this? And I'll give it to you quickly. And I did teach the entire book. Try the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, that man looks at his wife, and he is falling apart. Her face was so beautiful. Her figure was unbelievable. And you just look at the words of Scripture. There's nothing unbiblical about it. If you think that a husband is not attracted to the outside, you are fooling yourself, and your husband's lying. It is important. But she goes deeper. She pays attention to that. She knows how to attract her husband. But if that's all, that's where skin, the beauty's only skin deep is true. She goes even deeper. She pays attention to the outside, but she gets to the inward. Why? She concentrates on her character. She is seeking to be deeper in her relationship and to deal with the internal so that her character is even more important than the outside. And we all care for our bodies. And by the way, it uses that in Scripture. So don't think for 1 minute that a woman should not be paying attention to the outside or her hair. When she wants to go get her hair done, guys, encourage her to do so. You know, or whatever it is that she wants to make herself look a little bit better. That's a wonderful thing. We should be encouraging that. But also it should go deeper. You want to be a godly woman, you need to know the Word of God. You need to believe the Word of God. You need to know the Bible, but you need to know the God of the Bible, number two. And number three, you need to pay attention to the outward in this world, but also go even deeper and pay real attention and focus on your character, your behavior. That hasn't even done justice to that part of it. We haven't even got to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at the practical. This is the trenches. This is the battlefield. I love it. And you understand, I just gave you basically the background of what Paul is dealing with here. Paul understands the Scriptures, and he understands that these women believe Scripture. He understands that they paid attention to it. They paid attention to the God of the Bible, and he understands that the character was important. And then he brings out the practical aspect that every woman sees. And this is the illustration. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 7 and 9, deals with the practical. It deals with the illustration. And what is it? Now it goes beyond. That's why I said the first part, in case you missed it with all the notes, the first part was She pays attention to self. We need to pay attention to ourselves. Do we know what the scriptures say? Do we believe it? Do we know the God of the Bible? If we know the God of the Bible, are we paying attention to we have to get by in this life and live, but we're more concerned about our character? That's paying attention to self. The illustration here, or the practical aspect of digging into the trenches, is summarized this way. Secondly, pays attention to others. Pays attention to self, and now pays attention to others. Paul observes mothers. Verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. But we proved to be gentle among you. How? As a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And he uses the word gentle. And rather than deal with a dictionary of the Greek, and you can spend all your time in the world on that, the verse explains itself. What do you mean by gentle? Just picture in your mind a nursing mother, and I don't believe, for those that have read translations on that or commentaries, I don't believe he's dealing with somebody who's nursing the baby for someone else. He's talking about a nursing mother. What does she do? She cares. Now, keep this in mind. She was in pain bringing this child into the world. She not only was in pain, but she was in physical disruption. What do you mean? She began to waddle. She began to change. Her whole body was changing. And she went through all of the sacrifice. And she thought she was not good looking at all. What is happening to my body? And yet she went through all of this. And now the child's come along. Are the scars there? Stretch marks? All that? Yes. But all of that's behind. The baby's come. The baby's come into the world. And the excitement. And what have you got? You got a picture of a woman bringing a child into her body. And the warmness of that child. That's what the child remembers when you think of a nursing baby. They just remember the warmth of the body. And the mother's voice. And the care. And the nourishment coming from the mother. Being fed, protected. And what happens? There is a bond that I will never have with my children that my wife has had with all of our children. Why? Because of that. And what a picture that he gives. He's observed it. And he says, you want to know how I cared for you at Thessalonica? I wasn't there for money. I didn't run away. Just picture a nursing mother. And it's all in a good sense, by the way, folks. And he says, just concentrate on the tenderness. Concentrate on the care. And what is it? It's just something where she just focuses on that child, not even on her own pain, not what she's all been through, but on the child and caring and loving. She might love other children, but she just loves her own. This is special. This is special. So what is it? Gentle. Gentle toward others. He was gentle. You want to leave a legacy? You need to know what the Bible says and believe it. You need to know the God of the Bible. You need to understand him and have a relationship with him. Then you need to focus on living in this world, but being focused on eternal things. And in the practical sense, be gentle toward others. Care for others. Minister to others. Put them in front of yourself. That's what a mother does. And by the way, I believe this passage is one of the best illustrations of how a Bible is a commentary on itself. Because if we still don't understand gentle, he gives us the commentary in verses 8 and 9. What does he say? Verse 8, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you became very dear to us. That's an expansion of gentle. He's given a commentary on what he means. He uses the word, and I put it this way. Verse 8, point number 2 of practicality. Sacrificial and God-centered. Not only do they know God, but the life is sacrificial, and the life is centered on God. That's what leaves a legacy. Someone who's focused on the things of God and is focused on being sacrificial with their own lives. And this fondly affectionate is the only time the word is used in Scripture. It is such a deep longing of compassionate affection. What happens? Willing to give even of her own life. That's a picture of a mother. A mother's willing to give, and in fact, it's true historically, biblically. Many wives or mothers have given themselves in death to bring a child into the world. They give of themselves. And a godly mother, that's what she does. She just totally is giving of themselves, willing even to sacrifice their own life. And again, is it practical to all of us? Yes, you want to leave a godly legacy. You need to know the Bible. You need to believe it. You need to know the God of the Bible. You need to concentrate on how to function in this world, but concentrate deeper on your character. You need to have a life that, in a practical sense, illustrated by Paul, is one that is gentle toward others in concern, and one that is deeply affectionate toward others, where you will give your life is not what Christ did for us. He gave his life for those who are unworthy. And if we're honest, and I say it to my own shame, when I was younger, I did some things that I regretted. And I'll never forget when I got saved. It's one of the first things that happened, true story in my own life. No one told me to do this. I was reading Scripture and came under such deep conviction. To give you an idea, I lived in South Lawrence. I had such an anger issue that literally my mother had to hide in the wall the many number of times I punched the wall. I didn't have a dad around. She had to cover him with things. And one time I got so angry that nobody was home when I got home. I was in high school. I put my fist right through a window. One that had the bob, you know, the wire in it, didn't matter. Didn't want to wait to get in. I tell you that because one of the first things that happened when I was saved and I come into conviction, I said to my mom, can I sit down with you? She said, sure. I told her about the salvation experience, and then I apologized. I'm so sorry for the things that I did that caused her pain. She gave her life for me. Your mothers give their lives for you. But even practical, we need to be ready to give our lives as a living sacrifice. And that's what Paul says. I loved you so much as a church. Even when you didn't love me, I gave my life so that you would be the way you should be. That leaves a legacy. But it goes beyond. Allow me just a couple of minutes here with a little bit of grace. It's not just that she was willing to give her own life. Notice this. Also, in that verse, not only the gospel of God. A godly person, a godly mother, is concerned about the salvation of her children. And if you're here today, that word gospel gets thrown around. There is only one good news. And the good news is found in Jesus Christ. And it isn't just some historical thing that happened. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by him. If you have any concept of heaven and hell and the reality of your own death, you need to understand that God's good news to the world is no religion, no person, no individual in this world can save anyone. And God said, I will save you myself by sending my son. And he who knew no sin on that cross of Calvary took sin upon him, that he might pay the penalty of death and then rise from the grave victoriously so that we could have eternal life. And that is the good news that needs to be heard everywhere today. It needs to be heard by you and me. That's what I believed. Being brought up Roman Catholic for many, many years, I believed facts. And I finally understood. Finally understood it was personal. It was for me. Did it for me. And that's what happened before I went back and talked to my mom, when that happened in my own life. And I trusted in Christ for salvation. This woman, that's why I read the text, and let me just refer to them. You look at it on your own. When you look to Timothy, his grandmother. Are you important as a grandmother? His grandmother was so concerned that from a youth, Timothy was told, when Paul comes along and he takes Timothy along the way, he was already well trained. Why? Because his grandmother invested the scriptures in his life. And not only that, so did his mother. She's with him 24 hours a day, fed up with many things that he does. She does. And what happens is still invested the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, even with my own children, it was my wife sitting down with them at that moment because she was there every day. Mothers, you have a tremendous impact for the glory of God. Be concerned not just whether they're going to be a superstar or an accountant or a salesman or a secretary or whatever, fireman, policeman, president of the United States. Be less concerned about that and more concerned about where is their soul going to be. And share the gospel. These moms were concerned about that so that Timothy's told in the passage that we always quote, from a childhood you knew the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Not only that, it says it's given so it would perfect you, the passages that we study. Be concerned about them spiritually. Last, though not least of all, probably most practical of all, is verse 9. For you recall our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you again the gospel of God. Paul says, he goes back and uses a mother and says, I cared for you like that nursing mother. I cared for you for that mother who was concerned for the spiritual welfare and also concerned for you as an individual where I give my life for you. And then he says, thirdly, I never stopped. I don't know a mother that's ever stopped. Guys, we have it easy. We bring children into the world in a few minutes. She carries children for 9 months, brings them into the world. We go off to work. We get fed up with everything at work. She lives day in and day out with a lifetime of laundry, meals, diapers, cleaning, second jobs, teaching, being an encyclopedia and everything else for the child. And then we come home and said, I had a rough day. Really? You want a rough day? Come home. See what it's like. We don't, you know, we take that for granted. That's what he says. In a woman's job, in a mother's job, and now I'm not saying you can't work or anything like that. That is work. I get a kick out of that. My wife, I've had that for many years. My wife knows it's true. That people would say, your wife doesn't work. Are you kidding me? She works harder than I do. She just does it in the house. And even more so. But it's never ending. We take for granted. Do you realize that your wife has to be at a restaurant 7 days a week, a couple of times a day? No wonder sometimes she says, I don't know what to cook. What do you mean you don't know what to cook? You've only been doing it for 40 years. You know, and we come down on them. Laundry, I just finished the laundry. Well, here's some more. Right? More dishes. Never ending. Hard working. See it? And that's what we're trying to get across to you. So what am I saying? I have to summarize it. By the way, isn't it interesting? Sometimes the mothers talk like kids. Why do you think that's so, husbands and fathers? Because they're around them all the time. Go home to your wife. I got to use the potty now. You know, and you're saying, why? She's been around kids all day. She's been working with kids. You know? And you see some of the things that they end up saying. It's because they've been spending their life poured into it. I would say this to you. Let me summarize it this way. No matter who you are, but particularly let me focus on mothers for a second. Leave a godly legacy. Know what the Word of God says and accept it for you. You're just who God wants you to be. Know the God of the Bible. Not just the Bible, but know the God of the Bible. And then be concerned for your appearance, but be deeply concerned also for your character. That's what will be left. Are you going to be remembered as the bossy woman or the bossy mother? Are you going to be remembered as someone who knew the Lord and in knowing the Lord, there was something about the character of my mom that I will never forget? And then the practical side, care for others. Show the care, and all mothers, I believe, do that. We need to do that as individuals as well. You don't have to be a mother to do that. Then what else? You need to be concerned for the spiritual welfare and being and be ready to sacrifice your life. That will leave a legacy behind. others' lives in front of ours. And then lastly, it's a lot of work. It's hard working and it's non-ending until we go home. That's true with mothers. Everyone in this room has a mother, and if they're alive, I would recommend that you go back and thank them for all the years that some of them have prayed for you, labored for you, done many things for you. You mothers go out of here, don't grow weary in well-doing. Proverbs 31 is not looking for perfection. Some of the things that we talked about here are practical. And you know what? None of them are perfect, guys. And guess what? I haven't gotten to the fathers yet. We're far from perfect. We need to be an encouragement to our wives. We need to uplift our mothers, our spouses, I should say, in front of our children. Too many times, I say it to my own embarrassment, I have put digs into my wife in front of the kids, and it's hurt deeply. It was wrong. It was wrong. We should be lifting up our wives, their mothers, so that they learn what a mother is really like and what it's like to see a family by the way we act. Mothers, thank you. Mothers in Fellowship Bible Church, thank you for your godliness. Thank you for your faithfulness, and continue in it. I've gone over. Thank you for your patience. Mothers, please don't forget to get your marker and your little flashlight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the word of God. How convicting it is. Many of us have failed to treat our mothers the way we should. We thank you for the mothers that you've given us and how laboriously and unendingly and limitless in their lives they have given themselves for us, done so much. We thank you especially for those who have mothers who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and have passed on that legacy to their children. And Father, if our mothers that are alive still haven't trusted in Christ, convict us to pray the way we really should. And I pray, Father, that we as husbands would uplift our mothers and wives in front of our children the way we should. That, Father, our mothers and wives would leave a legacy that all of us would, that would be eternal, way beyond what's been left financially, way beyond what's left in an inheritance. Help us to leave them a godly inheritance that will never be forgotten and never fade away. I pray you'd help each one of us with that, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.